Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today's December 30th, 2009. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. We have a good show for you tonight. Our guest is Obadiah Ben Yezreel, former known as Christopher Peterson out of Indiana. And before we get him on the line, we just want to tell you a little bit about his history. Peterson confessed to claims of killing seven people with a shotgun in Northwest Indiana between October to December of 1990. He was convicted despite the eyewitnesses' reports that the killer was a white person and Peterson is black. He was given two death sentences, and he still maintains his innocence, claiming that he was forced into a false confession at the time. He is currently sitting on death row, where he is considered one of many wrongly convicted prisoners. We'll talk with him tonight, and he'll let us know what happened and about his trials and the things that are going on now. And let me introduce my co-host, Boyd, to the show. Good evening, Boyd.
Thank you, Ms. Lucinda. Tonight, we had a great show, like she said, with my man that was wrongly convicted, coerced into saying something that he didn't even do, you know. So tonight, he's here to tell his story, and we're very happy to have him here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And he'll be on the air in the next 3 minutes. We just spoke to him on another line, so he'll be in with us in the next 3 minutes. We're going to go to a song right now, and when we get back, we'll break in with my man, Chris.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with the Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to. But know these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby. So join the movement. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. It's the streets, baby. They don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In the street, no one's above you. In the street, no one can touch you. In the street, love
yeah,
if you want to.
here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that can live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real Freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a get. Got he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born. We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if we cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. Lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, so you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on.
Let us all be checking back in with you, like I said. It's that traffic knowledge, let you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, and we are still waiting for Chris to call in, and we're going to go ahead and take a call right now from one of the callers, and he'll be able to go back and listen to the show later, so anything that you need to say if he's not on here yet, we'll be able to hear the show in a little bit. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, caller? Hello, caller, you're on the air. I'm trying another one. There are quite a few calls on here tonight, so please be patient. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller?
I think that's Jerry. Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Hello, just a minute, please. I think we got
Hello?
Jerry.
Yeah. Is Rob there?
Yes, he is. Hold on just a second.
Thanks.
Hey, how you doing, Jerry? You on there? I mean, Chris, you on there?
Just a little badger, man.
How you feel?
I feel good, bro. I feel good that I'm finally going to get the opportunity to tell my side of the story.
Right, right. Me and the missus, we glad to have you on the show. So we want to let you introduce yourself right now. The phone line been lit up, so we want you to go ahead and formally introduce yourself right now.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, before I do anything, I want to thank you and your wife. And I want to thank Jerome Lynch for actually allowing the opportunity to touch the airwaves in the East, because the power is truly in the hands of people. So my name is Obadji Ben Yisrael, formerly known as Christopher Peters. I was convicted in 1992 of the shotgun killing that were part of a spree in October of 1990 to December of 1990. So I'm here to just tell my story because a lot of people have it twisted and confused, even though the suspect was originally a white woman. I somehow became convicted and tagged with the label of shotgun killer. So I just want to set the record straight on a lot of things.
So we definitely glad to have you here as well. And if the callers, the line has been lit up waiting on you. So we're going to take a caller right now and you know, we're going to let them ask you what they need to ask you before we can get this show on the road, you know? So we're going to go to a caller right now.
Okay. All right.
Hello, caller. You're on the air right now with my man Jerry. With my man Chris.
Oh, bad.
You there, caller? Only we'll go to another caller then.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. You're on the air with my man OB right now. Go to another caller. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You're on air, caller. You there, caller? Go to another call.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. We got my man OB on the line right now. Would you like to ask him anything?
Yeah, this is Cedric Cusick. What's up, folks?
What's happening, brother? How you be, man?
Man, I'm blessed. You, bro, I know. Have the courts looked at your records, and are they going to considering giving you another trial?
Well, the thing is, I don't know if not a lot of people know this, but I had four different trials for this shotgun sling. My first trials were
that.
Excuse me? Hello?
I'm here, bro.
Okay, my first two trials were ended in acquittal, which means I got found not guilty. We was able to use a composite sketch in that of ID witnesses saying that it was a white man. So I got found not guilty. My second two trials, one was in Porter County. I got found guilty by an all-white jury.
Right.
The next trial, I got found guilty again. Well, in 2005, I appealed, and my Porter County conviction got reversed. So I don't even have a conviction in Porter County no more, and they have not retried me. They have not even sought to try to retry me. That didn't make it into the newspaper. A lot of people don't know that. So I'm left with one conviction. So out of seven murders and five attempted murders, I'm convicted of two murders. And those are the two murders that I got 120 years on, and they refused to give me a new trial, even though there's an eyewitness that a jury never got to hear that describes the white man sitting across the street from the tailor shop. So that's what I'm trying to do. I need the help of the people to lean on these politicians to do something.
What do we need to do? Put it out there to the people. That's what you need. We need to get this out to, like, Tom Jordan the radio show. We need to get this to the media. We need to get this to some lawyers.
I got some good lawyers. You there?
All right.
Yeah, I got some damn good lawyers. I got lawyers out of Notre Dame Law School, and I got lawyers from Chicago from a firm called Sidley and Austin. So I got top-flight attorneys. But the thing is, my case is so political that I need that political push.
I got you.
I need people to start talking about back behind doors.
Now, this is the first I had heard of it, bro. Thanks to Lynch Mob, you know, for getting it out there on Facebook.
Well,
this
is a hell of a case, man. It's a hell of a case.
Yeah, I see that, man.
And I don't want people to listen to what I say. I want them to go and investigate, because everything that I say is public record. It's in the files. It's in the transcript.
Right.
I don't want
right.
you to depend on what I say. I want you to go and look at the evidence for yourself and make a conclusion that something's wrong.
Okay. Well, from evidence, what you're telling me now, something is wrong.
Well, it's a whole lot wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I'm the only thing that's connected to these shotgun killings, because I still have one conviction. And they refused to reverse that conviction, even though I showed them what they did wrong and where I was supposed to get them tried by law. I showed them that, and they still denied it. But I guess they figured, since they took the death penalty off of me and gave me 120 years, I wasn't going to die, so they'll just let me die in prison.
Yeah. Okay. We got you.
All right, my man. We definitely glad that you had a chance to speak with Mr. OB, and we're going to go to another caller. And we definitely want to say this before we go to another caller. We thank my man Jerry from Lynch Mob for putting this together and getting in touch with me and my wife and getting OB's story out here, you know, through our website with the radio. And then also we got two television shows as well, and we're going to get a story out on the TV show as well. So we want to give Lynch Mob much love and much respect for that as well. And we're going to go to another caller as well, OB.
Okay, bro.
Hello, caller. You're on that Streets Don't Love You Back radio show.
Hello.
Hey, caller. You're on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. We got my man OB on the line. You know, if you need to ask him something, you can get it on the flow now.
Okay, yeah. This is Lynch Mob's brother, and my name is Kevin. And I'm just here to support you, bro. And me and my brother, we're going to do our best. We're going to work together to get this story out there, because we're working with some top-notch people that we can get this documentary out there and get it out to the people, so people will go out and look at your records, and then it'll get worldwide.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate that, bro. That's what I need. I've been doing this struggle for 19 years, man. I've been doing this for 19 years. I've heard people, you know, when you're in prison, you hear a lot of things. You hear a lot of things, a lot of people talk about you, people that, you know, with friends out there on the street, they talk about you and they say unflattering things about you, but I didn't heard it all. But I couldn't let that stop me from moving ahead, from fighting what I know is ahead of me. So I just kept it moving.
Right, right, right. You got to keep it moving. Can't let nothing get your head down, man.
No. I got to admit, though, brother, struggle ain't been easy, man. There's been times I wanted to give up, but I got a family. I got a lot to live for, so I couldn't just give up.
Right. Okay. Yeah, see, because I came out of the Wallace in 91, and
right.
I remember you riding past Lew Wallace in your wife Sentra, you know.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I know you're a good brother, you know, and like I say, man, me and my brother, we're gonna do our best to get this story out there, man, and we supporting you 100.
I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. But let me say one thing to the people who listen. I wasn't no angel. I mean I didn't have in my heart to kill people. But I was out there doing things that I didn't have no business doing that were detrimental to my community and my people. So I don't want to make it seem like I was an angel. The lifestyle that I live lent itself to me being exactly where I'm at right now.
Okay.
So, you know, I did some things definitely that I would have been in prison for. I'm in prison now for something that I actually did, but the shotgun killings are not a part of that.
Okay.
But after 19 years, I done paid my debt to society for that.
Right.
So my thing now was to try to get out of here and use my experiences to, you know, channel the energy of these young black men out there now who are lost. I mean,
right.
Lost, bro. And I was lost at one time. I'm the perfect representative to try to reach out to these young brothers and let them know that this ain't no game, man.
Right.
This ain't no real behind these walls. I'm not talking about no 8-year bid. I'm not talking about no 5-year, no 3-year bid. I'm talking about big time behind a wall.
Right.
So they didn't have me behind a wall for almost 20 years. They won't let the public look in here, and they won't me look. They won't let me look out there to the public. They don't want me to be a part of it.
Right. And like you say, man, you are the perfect example to get out here and preach to these young brothers out here now that's lost. We need people like you to get out here and talk to these young brothers, man, because these, like you say, man, these brothers is lost and don't have a clue.
No, they don't. I mean, but I don't blame them. I don't blame all of them. I mean, it's their fault. They got to take responsibility for the things that they did, but life is cyclical, which means that it goes in a circle. So
right.
what preceded them actually shaped them. So we
right.
have to take responsibility. Our generations and the generation before us had to take some responsibility because we thought that the struggle was over. We thought that we had our voting rights and they allowed us to drink out of the same water fountains as white people drink out of and sit on the same toilets. We thought the struggle was over.
Right.
So we didn't pass down the knowledge of our history to our brothers, to our children. And as a result of that, they don't have no foundation. And anything that don't have a foundation up under it can't stand.
That's right.
So this is what's going on with our young brothers. And like I said, I think that I can get out there. I'm not foolish enough to believe I can save everybody because some cats just got to bump their head.
That's right.
But there's some cats out there who are looking for some guidance and some direction. There's somebody who just to embrace them, wrap your arms around them and say, "Dear, I love you, bro. I understand what you're going through, but we can make it up out of this together."
Right.
So this
my man, and we definitely enjoying tonight here at the show. We definitely done seen a lot of pouring out of love here for my man OB. And to tell his story, and we want to give much love to my man Lynch, my brother, and they family down there for, you know, locking up and joining up with us to put OB's story out there, you know. And we're going to go to another call right now, and we're going to keep it moving, you know. Caller, you're on the air right now if you need to ask my man OB something. You there, caller? I'll go to the next one. Yeah, caller, right here. Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. You need to ask my man OB something. You there, caller? All right, we're going to keep it moving.
Got to keep it moving, bro.
Hey, welcome, caller, here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You need to ask my man OB something. He in the house.
Are you speaking with this caller?
Yes, ma'am. I'm speaking with you, and I want to say thank you for being so patient with us, and there go my man OB. So if you need to ask him something, he right there.
No problem. My name is Beverly Joyner. I grew up with Chris on 49th Avenue, in fact, 49th Place. I just really want to say that, you know, I didn't follow the story. However, I was a government employee, and I saw a lot of things taking place. So I want to say to you, Chris, only God knows what happened and who was involved in reference to this case. And I truly want to say, if you were not a party, because I wasn't there, I can't say whether or not you did or you did not do, but God knows. So I'm going to say to you, if you were not a party involved in this, yes, you have my support. However, I do think about the families and even myself who went to ATM machines, you know, to withdraw money. I mean, I was feared back then also. But again, just to let you know, you have love from 49th Avenue. And those that are not speaking when, you know, they have the opportunity, you know, so be it. But As a resident growing up on 49th Avenue, we know what it was like to get cheese and all of that good stuff. But more importantly, I'm raising a son myself, and I know how the opportunity almost came where, you know, the odds could have been against him. But I'm thankful, you know, that he's about to be a high school graduate without having a case or a conviction on him. So, you know, he's standing here listening. If you want to say anything to him, because he just turned 18 yesterday. So as a single parent, I just want to say, you know, if you have any advice for him, you know, please say something.
Right. Okay. Well, Beverly, let me say this at first. Let me make this distinction. The robberies at the ATM machine and the shotgun killings are two separate events. They're not connected in no kind of way. Having said that, I did take place in a robbery at one of those ATM machines. It had nothing to do with any shotgun shooting. So for my part in that, I'm taking full responsibility. Like I said, I've done 20 years. I gave 20 years of my life for that. And I'm sorry that I caused fear in my community by doing that. But the shotgun shooting, I had no part in whatsoever. Now, to your son, this is what I want to say to him. A man stands on his own two feet. He doesn't go with the flow of the crowd. If the crowd is going one way and he knows that it's wrong, he's got his own strength to say, no, I'm not going to go that way, regardless of what everybody else is doing. So you have to be a man in this world right here, because everybody is following somebody else. And the blind lead the blind, everybody ends up in a hole. So you have to develop your sight, get your own focus and vision, and stay with that no matter what everybody else is doing. If you got friends or homeboys that tell you, no, come and do this, come and do that, when you're trying to do something positive, them ain't your friends and them ain't your homeboys. A true friend and a homeboy is going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to. And you ain't always going to like it, but he'll stand on it because he loves you. So this is what I want to say. Be your own man. Know what a man is first. A man ain't having a penis and being able to drop babies all over the place and not take care of them. That's not what a man is. A man is one who mans up to his responsibility, like I just did. I said I was wrong for living a particular lifestyle. I was wrong for terrorizing my own community. I was wrong for not being there for my children. I was wrong for not being there for our sisters. So this is what you have to do. Take responsibility. Stand on your own two feet. Develop your own vision and make it happen, bro.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much for giving him those words of inspiration. He definitely listened in. And again, you know, final thought is that, you know, we love you. You know, Lew Wallace is pretty close. So as a Lew Wallace family and even just, you know, growing up, like I said, you know, we love you. And again, because I did not follow the story, I don't really have no judgment call. But just know that, you know, I can truly say if you were not a part of, then I totally support you. So, you know, with that, okay?
All right. God bless you.
All right. You too.
All right, hon, we appreciate that, you know. So we're going to move to the next caller. Like I said, you know, the line is definitely lit up tonight, and my man has got mad love, mad support on the line, you know. So we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're on the air with my man, OB. You there? You there, caller?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. You're on the line with my man, OB, if you need to ask him something.
OB, how you doing?
I'm doing, bro.
Okay, my name is Tony. I'm one of Jerry's friend, closest friend.
Okay.
And he's supporting you very big, man.
Right.
And his brother's supporting you. I'm supporting you. I understand some things, man, but God knows everything, you know?
Right.
And like you say, man, we're going to get this out. We're going to try to get you going. And our blessings going to go towards you, man, all right?
Yeah, I appreciate appreciate the love, man. Definitely. I appreciate the love, man. Hey, Jerry trying to call in now.
Okay. God bless you, brother.
Hey, bless you too, bro. I appreciate
all right.
Love, man.
All right. Thank you, my brother, for coming in. We're going to keep
right.
it moving, OB. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right, caller, you on the air at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You on the air with my man, OB. You there, caller? Yeah, I guess they chilling. We're going to keep it moving, OB.
Okay, all right.
Hey, caller, you on the air right now at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with my man, OB. You need to ask him something, make it happen.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on air.
OB.
What's happening, bro?
Hey, this is Dave Fowler, man.
Who is this?
Dave Fowler.
Dave Fowler?
Yeah.
What's happening, black man?
Hey, how you doing, black man?
Hey, man, I'm keeping it moving, man. Trying to keep my head above the water. That's it.
Man, I'm feeling that, man. Only thing I want to say, man, is I remember that time frame, man, and, you know, even during that time frame, I mean, me and you, you know, we hung out a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And
everything
that came out of that, man, you know, that was just a straight raw deal, bruh, you know, and I'm just going to call it for what it is, man. So just understand, man, you know, we go way back, and, you know, I got nothing but love for you, brother.
Hey, thank you, bro. Thank you, man. Like I said, this support, man, is warming my heart, bro, because 19 years, like I said, it's only been me and my family. Ain't been nobody else there. I didn't think nobody else cared. Matter of fact, I thought people thought I was dead already.
Right.
To you know, what Jerry and this brother who got the radio station, Rob Ford, what they did for me in one day has not been done for me in 19 years. I mean, I received more messages today and more love from people past who I thought didn't give a damn than I have in the whole 19 years just in this one day.
Right.
Well, I opened my heart to their brother Jerry Lynch and Rob Boyd because they made it happen for me, man. They dug the dirt from off of me and allowed me to allow my voice to resonate
right.
to the ears of the people. So I appreciate this, man.
Hey, man, I'll tell you, man, that, you know, just over the years, you know, as you know, our class has gotten older, you know, we've gotten wiser and, you know, we're getting stable in our situations. And I just think that we're awakened, man, to, you know, just piecing together things on how to make a movement. And you know, I'm always in touch with Lynch Mob. And so, you know, whatever he's trying to do, man, you know, just best believe I'm going to be part of that, man. And just know that, man, you know, again, nothing but love, bro.
Hey, thank you, bro. And as a debt of gratitude, like I said, I pledge, y'all willing, he make it happen to where I hit those bricks again. Man, I'm going to live my life in memory and in service to the struggle for my people, man. That's what I've been reared on the last 15 years is the new African independence movement. So that's
right.
My political philosophy. My political philosophy is about us. I don't exclude nobody, but I'm saying that we as a people are in the worst predicament than anybody else on this damn planet.
You got that right.
So we have to start doing for self now. First of all, we have to start recognizing ourselves as belonging to one people when we got one heritage. And we don't function like we do. So, I dedicate my service to my people, man. My people, the only ones that could get my voice out there, could tell my story,
right.
could help me up
yeah.
out of where I'm at right now. So I appreciate you, man.
Hey, no problem, bro. Just, you know, take care, man. You know, keep that head up, you know, above water, like you said. And just know that, you know, you got some classmates that's rolling with you, man.
Much love, man.
Hey, no doubt.
All right. We appreciate my man, coming on that showing OB Mad Love. And we just want to let everybody know that's listening tonight, if you want to tell your friends and associates about the show with OB, they can also listen to it tonight at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com or they can go to Facebook on our page on Facebook and listen to it as well, and 24/7. And like we said, we definitely getting OB's story out here, because once I read it and Lynch Mob told me about it, I instantly told my wife that we're going to get his story out there today on our radio show, and now people can listen to it 24/7. And once again, we'll definitely be getting him on our new Change reality show, which be playing in Ohio, and it hit a million households. So the bottom line is the name of that title, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we all know what that is. They'll never love you back. So we're going to go to another call for my man, OB. Hey, Carl, you're on the air right here at Streets Don't Love You Back. You there, Carla? You there, Carla?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr.
Streets Don't Love You Back.
Oh, yeah. We got another caller for OB. All right, OB. We done got all the callers for you. And now we're going to turn the mic over to my wife and let her ask you a couple questions, OB.
Okay, all right.
My man.
Well, thank you for coming on our show and telling your story. You know, you have an awesome story to tell, and you know, I was looking on the internet and looking into you know, what I could find out about you, and it definitely, you know, it was actually explained in one article that it was the most bizarre court proceedings that anyone's ever seen, just because of the way all of the evidence and statements of people were made by everybody one way, and then later on everybody, you know, mysteriously changed their statements to other things, and then went back to the first one and then back to the second one, and it was just really crazy. So, you know, could you maybe go back to that time and tell us, you know, what was going on with you at that time, and just maybe share with the listeners a little bit more about the case itself and what really happened?
Okay. Well, what people have to understand is before any of this came about, I went to the Marine Corps in 1988. When I left for the Marine Corps, my girlfriend at that time was pregnant with my first son. So when I got out of boot camp, my son had already been born. He was born premature. He was born in July of 1988. So I went back to the Marine Corps to leave my son born premature. He had developed intestinal problems. So they flew him over to Children's Memorial Hospital, where subsequently his intestines healed, but he developed lung tissue scars because he had a ventilator in his mouth for so long. So bottom line is, I thought he was doing better. They told me he was doing better. So I went back to Guantanamo Bay, which is where I was stationed at the time, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I got a call that January. It was January 1989. My son was 6 months at this time. They told me that I had to come home because my grandfather had passed. So I went home. I'm home visiting my son and getting ready to go to my grandfather's funeral. And what had happened was they told me that my son could come home. He was well enough to come home on January 28, 1989. That was also the same day of my grandfather's funeral. So I'm sitting in my grandfather's funeral. They call me out of my grandfather's funeral and tell me that I have to go to Children's Memorial Hospital. Something's happened with my son. So I left my grandfather's funeral. When I get to Chicago to Children's Memorial, they tell me that my son is brain dead, basically. So I'm thinking that I'm going to take my son home, and now I have to decide whether or not to take him off of this machine. So I was 19 at that time. At 19, me and my girlfriend had to decide whether to take our firstborn son off of a life support machine. So I ended up taking my son off of a life support machine. So bottom line is this. I buried my grandfather and lost my son January 28th. 1989. I went back to the Marine Corps, and they didn't give a damn. Well, I was already having problems in the Marine Corps anyway because it's a racist institution. And a lot of people don't know that unless you're on the inside of what really goes on a military base. So, bottom line is, I ended up going AWOL. And this was in 1990. So I returned back to Gary, Indiana at that time. I could not be gainfully employed because I was AWOL with the military. And the first thing they do was look up your Social Security number to come to find you. So I couldn't get a job. So what I did was revert back to what I knew, which was hustling. Subsequently, I'm at home. It's the summer of 1990. I've known Antoine McGee. I've known Tito Maxwell. I've known Ronnie Harris for a while. Now, these are the three main characters in the story. Antoine McGee, Tito Maxwell, and Ronnie Harris. We started hanging out the summer of 1990. I got a package. I started selling drugs. I turned my apartment, for all intents and purposes, into a drug house. So all four of them, including myself, had keys to this apartment. The dope was at this apartment. We had guns at this apartment. One of the guns was a 12-gauge shotgun. The other guns were pistols. So you don't keep track of who has what gun, who's doing what with one gun when you have a dope house. People come and go. They do what they do. Well, to make a long story short, this spree of shotgun shooting started in October of 1990. And it stretched it to December 18th of 1990. Now, this is an important date once again. January 28th, 1991, I got arrested. Antoine McGee got arrested first. He snitched on me, told them that I was involved with him in this robbery at this ATM machine at Gaynor Bank at the South Lake Mall. So they pulls me in. Now, while we at the shop, at the Gaynor Bank, after the robbery had taken place, we got pulled over by a Lake County police, a female. She recognized us. She let us go. Said we didn't have anything to do with what was going on out there. Well, I was in a stolen car later on. I was in the car of the individual who got shot at that ATM machine. The police chased me and Antoine, not the same one that pulled us over, but a different one. Tried to pull us over. Antoine left. They followed me because I was in the stolen car. I was in the car of the suspect or the individual who got shot. Antoine went to my apartment. Now, at this robbery, he and I both were there. I'm not going to say who did what. Both of us were there. I take responsibility for my role in this. So the shotgun was in the trunk of the car. There was a .32 pistol, which the individual at the ATM machine got shot with. He wasn't shot with a shotgun. He was shot with a pistol. Well, like I said, the police gave chase to me, and Antoine went to my apartment. My mother was at my apartment at the time. She said Antoine came in, went to my bedroom, closed the door, and came out a few minutes later and came in the room and told her that I was in trouble. So he went back out looking for me, and he got arrested. I got arrested later on that night because he said that I was with him. So we're at the Lake County Police Department, and he had told them, I didn't know this, but he had told them that he dropped me off at the ATM machine, and he left and didn't know what had happened. Well, when I got pulled in, the female police who had pulled me and him over was sitting there. And she asked me, did I remember her pulling us over? I said yes. So they went back and talked to him. So his lie was foiled at that point in time. Because now she knows that me and him was there. He didn't drop me off. Well, he subsequently told them, because he thought I said something about him, that I was the shotgun killer, and that he would take them to my apartment and show them the shotgun, which was in the closet. So this is how all of this came about. That's the setup, how all of this came about.
Okay.
I mean, it's a complicated twisted, turning story.
Right.
But my focus is not on that part of it. My focus is on the trials and on the evidence. Because
right.
that's what tells the tale about whether I had anything to do with it.
Right. Well, we certainly hope that, you know, by us, you know, helping to get the word out that the truth does come out and, you know, that you'll be able to move on with your life.
Well, I hope so also.
Yeah, we do have a couple callers, and I believe one of them might be Jerry, so let's get him on.
Right, okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
As-salamu alaykum. What's up, Black?
Hey, man, I'm trying to get the word out, man. I don't know if I'm doing such a good job of trying to explain this. It's so complicated.
Man, you're doing a perfect job, and like I told you, a lot of people don't know. I was at your crib the day before they came and arrested you.
Right, right.
You, Jimmy Dix, and Antoine McGee.
We ain't going to say what we were doing that night, but
We was having fun. But, you know, the whole thing about the whole situation, man, like I said, man, a lot of these clowns in these streets, they want to sit out here and floss and be club owners, be club promoters, do this and do that. But me, I'm giving back to the streets. I'm freeing my political prisoners.
Right. Right.
I'm freeing my guys. So fuck what they doing. I'm freeing political prisoners. Keep on flossing and trying to impress people. Step on my level when they ready. And with your situation, like I said, man, I told you years ago, I got your back. And I done finally plugged you with the right people. This shit is going worldwide.
Well, you made it happen, bro. You made it happen. Like I said, I gave you props a few times earlier today because, but for you, man, I'd still be in this dungeon. Nobody would be allowed to hear my voice.
Right. They can keep doing what they're doing, man.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, thank you, Bud Lynch, for even bringing this to me and my wife's attention, you know. And we send out mad love to you. And like we said before, you know, we know you've been trying to get through the line, and the line been lit up one call after another, you know. So we definitely
I told y'all I was going to blow it up.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, pouring of love, man, and people that's doing the right thing, you know what I mean?
Right. I just want to say, man, that I feel blessed to be in a position to help people. This dude,
right.
Man, this dude been down since junior high school. I want to free him and let him get his story out. Let him tell his story. It ain't about us. It's about helping
right.
the youth. And freeing our political prisoners. That's what it's all
right.
about.
Right, and it's a whole lot of people that's sitting in prison for a good reason, and it's a whole lot of people sitting in there for something they didn't do, you know? So I just witnessed a case when I was in Arizona last month. I witnessed a case that I told my wife about that a guy was wrongly convicted, and he had been in prison for 30 years before they found his innocence. So we thank God for the DNA thing because that wasn't happening 30 years ago, you know. A person could just point you out and say, hey, you did it, and, you know, prosecutors just really want a conviction, you know, and that's the bottom line, you know.
That's all they want,
so once they get a conviction, they can go home and sleep with their family and you in the dungeon chilling, you know what I mean, in the gates, you know.
Hey,
so we just want to thank everybody for, you know, supporting my man OB tonight, and we want to tell everybody that we want everybody that's listening to get the word out, put it on your websites, tell your friends, tell your associates, you know, that this is what's happening out here with people that just want a conviction and not convict the right people, and we want you to continue to log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. We're going to be posting a lot of information about OB and a lot of information about my man Lynch Mob. And we will be doing his documentary, Lynch Mob and Boyd. And we're going to just put his story worldwide. And I also contacted a
few heavy hitter friends of mine out of New York today about this story as well. So we done stepped up to the game plate now. We just gonna do what God allowing us to do. You know, if a man is not guilty, you know, God definitely will open up the gates for him, you know, even if it's 20 years or 5 years, you know what I mean? Back in Noah days and Moses days, when Moses say, "Let my people go," God made sure he, you know, my man Pharaoh let his people go. So sometimes we have to sit in order to get ourselves together mentally and spiritually and emotionally. So we want to just show that love back.
Hey, Rob, by me getting in on the last minute of this interview, you know, I've been trying to log in on this interview all night, even though I put the demonstration down. I want to let the world know, my hustle coming out of my pocket, I'm putting this documentary together along with you.
No mess.
I don't know if he mentioned that. I'm quite sure he did. I'm quite sure both of y'all did. But my hustle, my grind, my grustle plus hustle, grind, you dig what I'm saying? We put his documentary in the streets. We letting the world know what's going down. TopNotchHats.com.
Already.
We supporting him. TopNotchHats, www.TopNotchHats.com. We're supporting OB. You
all
dig
the way.
We let my people go.
That's what they told Moses, didn't they?
That's right.
Nah, man, that's what they told Pharaoh. Moses told
Pharaoh. That's right. And Pharaoh was hard-headed and didn't think Moses had that power to tell him to let his people go. But when the walls started caving in, Pharaoh realized that he should have let his people go, you know?
Right.
That's right.
Seven plagues.
Hey, OB, I'm going to keep it so real with you, and I'm going to tell you like this. A lot of these guys out here, they want to applause and hold on, let me go back to my phone. I'm breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we got you on there.
Okay, I walked away from my phone because I put it down. I'm working with this earpiece. Well, OB, this is what I want to tell you. We got so much stuff going on right here in the streets of Gary, man. And like I said, I continue to stress to these people, quit flossing. Quit bragging on what you got, trying to impress people. Educate the youth. Free our political prisoners.
Right.
Number one, educate the youth. You dig what I'm saying? These guys out here so lame, man, you know. That's why I came to you 100. I told you about 6 months ago, dog, I got you. And it just happened, man. You dig what I'm saying? I never gave up on you. I never broke my promise. I got you.
Everything in its appointed time, brother. Everything in its appointed time and in its appointed season. So, the Father be with us on this endeavor, brother.
No doubt. So, is any shout-outs you would like to give to your people, OB, while you're on the line? Or any information you like to say to anybody?
I'd like to. Everybody from the class of 1987, 1988, 89, well, it's truly from 85 all the way to 1991. I got to give shouts out and love because, like I said, it's one day. I've been getting major love from people who I went to school with, people who just knew me. I've been getting major love. So I thank y'all for the support from the bottom of my heart. May y'all bless y'all and y'all family. I know the story that I gave tonight is not complete. It's nowhere near complete. It didn't help. Those who was my detractors against me anyway, I don't think it convinced them. Those who were for me going to be for me anyway, it didn't turn them against me. So we still got that 80% in the middle. I got my 10% supporters, my 10% distractors. It's those 80% in the middle that I hope I reached. If I have not reached them by now, then in the subsequent future, I hope to put out enough information through Brother Benchmark and Brother Boyd on MySpace, on Facebook, on The Streets Don't Love You Back, .ing.com. I hope to put enough information out for people to get a clearer picture of what actually happened. And like I said, the documentary, y'all willing to be shortly, or it'll be coming as soon as we get it together. So that'll definitely be coming, and that'll shine more light on what's going on. But we're trying to put it together. We're trying to paint a complete picture for the people. So just be patient, and I ask that, you know, you continue to send prayers up. However you can support me, whether it's just a prayer, whatever, I appreciate it. And once
On that note, OB, we got another caller for you, homie.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, we trying to click the call in right now.
Okay, all right.
Man, number love for you, Black. I got you 100%.
You the one, Jerry. You the man, bro.
Told you I got you.
Yes.
We was trying to click another call. Okay, here we go. Caller, you on the air. I see you calling from KY. You there, Kentucky? You at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. You calling from Louisville, Kentucky?
Hey, while we waiting on that call to come in, I'm going to say something so real. I'm going to take OB way back. Man, remember when I got put at the crib in 88 in high school, man, and you came back from the service and came back in town looking for me at my grandmama's crib on 22nd and Madison?
Right, you were staying with grandma then.
I was staying with Big Ma. You came in town looking for me and came and picked me up, man. I didn't have a car. I didn't have no money or nothing. You put money in my pocket and bought drinks and everything for me. You dig what I'm saying?
Well, I was just returning the love that I got during, you know, all the time we've been knowing each other. We ain't never
that's
had no
why, hey, that's why I'm doing. That's why I'm doing this right now. People don't know that, man.
My man, and we appreciate that love. We gonna get this call in right quick. Caller, you on the air? You there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? We got my man OB on the line like we promised the people. You can ask him what you need to ask him.
Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Chris, this is Lucky. Well, OB, this is Lucky.
What's happening,
Lucky? Nothing. You taking care of yourself?
I'm doing as best as I can under the circumstances. We all
I know you are.
It's the will of the Father that's allowing me to stand up. But, hey, I'm not doing it on my own, I tell you that.
But, you know, after 19 years, he still got you, though, right?
I know. He ain't never left you.
I know.
Exactly. I just wanted to extend my love to you, Chris. I know we stopped writing. So I said, let me get on the radio and say I love you. I support you 110%. I remember being in Mississippi, and I think I wrote you and told you this. And they said that it was a white man going around shooting everybody.
Right.
I'm glad you said that on the air, caller, because, you know, that's something that needed to be truly said, because the OB had already explained that, and me and my wife had did some research, and, you know, like we say, it takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes a village to have a voice for those who's unheard, you know, and by OB, you know, can't do it on his own. It takes people like us, radio shows, TV shows, to put a man's or woman's word out there and get to the truth. Because like we stated before, only thing prosecutors want is a conviction. They don't care if you're guilty. So we want to definitely thank you for saying that on the air, young lady.
Yeah, I thank her too. Thank you, Lucky. Hey, can I say one more thing, bro? You need me to shout
out. Oh, yeah, you got the flow.
Okay, let me explain something. I was with this woman for 7 years. Most recent, we were married for 4 years, and we just broke up 5 months ago. Now, me and this woman had a lot of love. We still got a lot of love for each other. It's just the circumstances weren't conducive to us being together the way that we needed to or wanted to be together. We still married right now, but we're trying to dissolve this thing. So I say that to say that through this ordeal, I have lost a lot. I mean, I've had a lot taken from me, and I've lost a lot. I lost the woman who I truly believe was my soulmate. But she told me something the day before yesterday. to kind of galvanize everything in me that wanted to fight, to get up out of here. She told me she wanted to be with me beyond anybody else in this world, but she never thought that I was getting out of prison. She said she never thinks that these people are going to let me up out of here because they proved by denying my last appeal that they can do whatever they want to do. I say that to say this. If you find love, true love, that's true. That's life. I mean, nobody could deny that. That's life. That's what we all seek. That should never be corrupted. That should never be ended by falsehood. And that's what ended that. So I'm just asking my people, our voice has to be stronger than the opposition's voice. We have to want to have me out of here more than they want to keep me here. So with that said, you know, let's come together. I pray that we can do something because the power is truly in the hands of people that utilize the right.
And that is the bottom line, OB. And we want to just say once again, it's about time to close, but we want to just say we thank you for, you know, being on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And we're going to continue working with this case with Lynch Mob, and we're going to continue putting your word out there. And we're going to take the mic over to my wife right now, and I want to thank all the callers who have called in tonight to support my man OB. And once again, spread the word on your Facebook pages, your MySpace pages, and everybody's pages, because God is good, you know, and we don't know how good he is until he teaches us how good he is, and he brings us up out of our dungeons, and he brings us up out of our bad ways, you know, no matter what they is. You know, he has the last say-so. So we're going to keep OB in our prayers and his family, and I'm going to pass the mic over to my wife for her last words on the air.
And I would just like to also thank you for coming on the air and sharing your story with us, and, you know, let's just get out here and make a difference.
Hey, thank you, Paula.
No problem.
The opportunity.
You know, and we're not sure if we got to every caller tonight. We had our switchboard lit up. We did lose a few calls, and we apologize for that. But you can, and let everybody know that they can listen to this interview anytime, 24 hours, 7 days a week, on our website. And our website is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And again, they can listen to that anytime. They can share it on their Facebook pages. You know, just you know, let everybody listen to it and let them get the word out. We just want to let you know again that we are on the air every Wednesday night, and please join us again next Wednesday night. It's always 11:30 p.m. Eastern time and 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. And if you know anybody that has a story to be told or would like to share something, you know, about their past life, living, you know, the street type of life, please let us know or get them with us so that we can get them on the air as well. And again, happy and safe New Year to you all this week. And, you know, we'll see you next year, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And he does have one more last word, so hold on.
Yes, I just want to say for all our listeners that's on our switchboard and for all those who's listening on the internet, I would like for you all to go join our website when you get off the air tonight at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com and post your profile up there, join our movement. You'll see a lot of different things about OB and other people that we're working with. And if, like the wife said, if you have anybody in your family that's going through a raw deal, or your youths out here that need that guidance out there, we're asking you to join our movement. And parents, please start getting involved, because, you know, it all starts at home, you know, because if you don't raise your kids right, the street show will raise them and raise them in the wrong way, you know. So on that note, I'm going to go to my man, Chris. You can say your last say so, Chris, and then we out of here, man, and Happy New Year.
Hey, like I said, I wish everybody a blessed New Year. Much peace and prosperity in this year to come. Much growth, much wisdom. And I hope your family are prosperous. And I just extend my thanks to the listening audience, and y'all willing we can make something happen in the next or in the near future, and I could be an asset to my community and not a liability. So I love everybody.
Right, my man, we appreciate that. Right now, we're going to go to our last song, and we want everybody to listen to the last song that goes off with the show.
Can I throw something in before that last song?
Go ahead, my brother.
www.topnotchhats.com. In a minute,
my man.
We'll be doing a documentary with Rob. We got it. I got you, Rob. I told you I got you, dog.
My man, baby, we about to make life happen because it's all God's way and, you know, his will when it's all ready. You dig? So, what you say, good brother?
I said, I hit you with that major one, brother. Do your thing.
My man. So, hey, we're going to go out with this last song. We want everybody to listen to the last song and take the show out with us. And once again, Happy New Year, safe times, and love to everybody. And we're going to go out with In Need of a Change.
Yeah, LD. You know, far too often we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance. Won't let me forget that I done let down the rest of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hidden surprise, because I haven't searched from too big. And with my chance in the sky high, so the sunshine, life is on the line with no place to see. As I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. That these two of my brains are trying to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I've never talked about. If I could do it all again, I'd never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my ways from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama, great rain pour down from the clouds. Drop to my knees and pray that I have a reason to smile. The youngest looking hard, running around any street, chasing girls, thought I learned all the world had to teach. But one day I lied awake, realized I didn't know it, and it hit me like a brick. Wish I could do it all again, but I can't, and I ain't. Anyway, I read and brave, write my future like a book. As I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the lawful up, but more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is. All I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, bring my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw, and still stand tall in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world has got to be. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I leave the sheet. No more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. Jealous of others, do for your damn self.